Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
So I just thank you for being here today. So glad that you're here at the Southwest. And whether you're a regular here, if you're just here for the kids, we're just glad that you are. And just make yourself at home. Coffee and donuts out front. Family atmosphere. And so just be relaxed. And if you're watching us online, we're glad that you took the time to sign in today and join us and be a part of worship today. I do have just one major, giant, huge, fun announcement. The EXO Date Night Out is coming this on Friday of this coming week. And so you'll find these around the room, and we're going to pass some of these out right now. Cam Laycock, come here, please, sir. Fast, hurry. I know it's early in the morning, I know. Would you just start passing those out? Just hand it to a couple of people and they can pass them around. There's a QR code on there you can scan. It starts at 6:30 on Friday. Now, I know you look at that and it says $60, okay? And so that's for a steak meal, all right? And there is a DJ that will be here. There's some great, we simulcast just two short video teachings that come from Dallas and Gateway Church. This is our 10th year to do this, and so we're excited about it. Hope you'll sign up. Now, again, $60 sounds like a lot. Has anybody eaten out at a nice restaurant lately? Yeah. Anybody gone out and had dessert at a place lately? Anybody gone out and gone dancing lately? Boy, y'all are boring people. $60 is a bargain, and I'm not just trying to sell it, but if you're like, God, that's just, no, it's not. Now then, if you really want to come, it's great for marriages, it's great for dating relationships, for later in life. If you're not married, it's great to hear the teachings about marriage, just all the things. So just encourage you to be a part of that. If you have questions, come see me, Dallas, Ashley, anybody, and we'll be glad to talk to you about that. Lord God, thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence. Lord, as the body of Christ, here we are corporately worshiping you. Lord, there's something special. Lord, you even said it is good to gather together as the body. And so, Lord, I'm thankful that we do. Lord, let our praise rise from this place. Let it be just pleasing to you today. Lord, as we come into fellowship, come into harmony with your spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, all the people said, amen. I know it's really not for the worship team, but just a great, I think, just to give glory to God and for their leadership. Let's just one round of applause. Have a chance to give right now, and so you see up on the screens there's some QR codes and some phone numbers you can text. There's baskets around the room and outside if you want to give cash or check or however you want to do that. And so I want to pray for your finances. I say it all the time and I'll never stop saying it. Finances are so important, but it's also important to God. And so I like to consider that separately just from a general prayer. And so let me pray for those. Lord, I don't pray for our finances because I want more. Lord, I pray for our finances because, Lord, it all belongs to you. And it is so important how we are to be good stewards of what you give us. Our lives, our relationships, Lord, but also our money. And so as we give, or Lord, as we consider to give, or as we try to hold back what you call us to give, Lord, I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that we would just listen to you. Lord, that we would open up our heart to you, and Lord, to know that really it all belongs to you anyway, and Lord, you provided it in the first place, and Lord, you're going to keep filling the gaps in our lives when we are faithful. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In the name of Christ, amen. So how many of you feel like you're still just doing time, right? Here, I'll take the gun off the stage. Maybe that won't be so distracting. Anybody feel like you're just doing time in life? Marking time, just kind of going through the routine, the daily, the ins and the outs, and the same old, each and every day, and it just doesn't feel like you're getting anywhere. How many of you, don't raise your hands, I know I've already asked once in January, but we already had to have some marriage counseling because of it. How many feel like you're doing time in your marriage? Don't raise your hands. How many feel like you're doing time in relationships? And heaven forbid, how many of you feel like you're just doing time in church? You're just going through the routines. You're just going through the motion, and you're just waiting for something next to make life happen for you. So what I want to talk about today is how you can make life happen, how you make it happen for you in the way that God wants you to work in your life, the way he wants you to carry out the mission that he has set before you. And if you say, I don't know what the mission is, well, just hold on and we'll get to that. So you heard David and Goliath a little bit with Ashley and the kids, and how this giant soldier came out and he taunted the armies of God. I want to read the passage to you today, and so you will see exactly what is going on. It says, now the Philistines gathered their army for battle, and they were gathered at Sohoc, and that which belongs to Judah, and they camped between Sohoc and Azekiah, and then they went from the Fs to, you got to be really careful how you say this word, right? The Damninnin, okay? And so Saul, the man of Israel, was assembled and camped in the valley of Elah, and they drew up in the battle to formation to confront the Philistines. The Philistines were standing on the mountain on one side, and Israel was standing on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley in between them. You're going to have to really imagine that because we live in Lubbock, Texas. Okay, so y'all just go out to Caprock, out to the canyons, go out, and you can kind of imagine what that might look like. Then a champion came forward from the army encampment of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath. His height was 6 cubits in span, 9 feet, 6 inches. Okay, imagine 9 foot tall and 6 inches. And he had a bronze helmet on his head. He wore a scale armor which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze, about 120 pounds. He also had bronze greaves on his legs and bronze saber hung between his shoulders all the way from the back, and he could just pull it straight up. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. That means it was as long as about 7 to 10 feet, okay? And then, and it weighed 600 shekels of iron, again, about 70 pounds. And his shield bearer walked in front of him. So his shield was so big, he had another human being carrying it in front of him. And then he stood and he shouted to the ranks of Israel. He said to them, why do you come out to draw up in battle formation? Am I not the Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man as your representative and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become the servants and serve us. Then the Philistine said, I have defiled the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man so that we might fight together. So my question is, if you have two armies, right? I mean, if you're in an army and you have a goal and you have a battle plan, you have the tanks, you have the machinery, you have the guns, you have the spears, you have the shields, you have the helmet, right? You have the body armor. Why aren't you doing anything? Why aren't you going forward in life? Why is it that for you, I would ask the question, why is transformation not happening in your life? Why do you continue to set goals that you don't attain, that you only half-heartedly work on? Why in your marriage is your marriage not transforming? Why if you're in school, why are your grades not transforming? If you're anywhere in any place in life, why is transformation not taking place? So I think that what we say to each other all the time is because I'm waiting on something. I'm waiting on the next thing, or I'm waiting on life to change. I'm waiting on my kids to grow up, or I'm waiting on some class. I'm waiting on some new Bible study. I'm waiting on whatever. I'm waiting on a promotion. I'm waiting on my boss to retire. I'm waiting on somebody else to leave so I can step up and move. See, the thing is, I think the reason that when we're waiting, you're waiting on someone, somewhere, somehow, or some way to, right, to do something in your life. But the question is, who are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Because if you're waiting on someone, somewhere, somehow, some way, to someday change your marriage, change your grades, change your home life, change your careers, your job life, change your attitude at work, then really what you're doing is you're waiting on no one Because no one's going to change that for you. No one is going to do what needs to be done in your life for you to transform. They might do it for themselves, but I think they're in the same boat that you and we are. They're just still waiting. Always, always waiting. And here's what's really odd to me. And you know these people, the people that are making things happen, the people that have so much joy in their life, the people that have a life plan and a goal, and they accomplish things, and they have the best marriage, and they have the best life, and they have all the things that you want. We don't like those people, right? They irritate us. Oh, y'all are just being so goody two-shoes today. You know, oh, I know that person. I can't stand him. Right? But we want to be them. It's so odd that the armies of Israel, they looked at this giant soldier, this warrior named Goliath, and even though I don't want to get into the faith part just yet, but they're like, oh, I wish I was 9 foot tall. I wish I had my own armor bearer. I wish I had somebody to carry my shield. I wish I was as good as that guy. That's how we live. That's how we act, and yet we don't do anything about it because we're always waiting, we're always waiting. And here's what I want to tell you, and the someone that you've been waiting on, the something that you've been waiting on, the somehow, the some way, the someday, the someone you've been waiting on is you, and I can prove it to you biblically. The someone that you have been waiting on is you, and how does that work? And David said to Saul, David said, I can do this. I can take care of this. Word got back to the king, and the king said, bring that boy here. Let me talk to him. David said to Saul, may no one's heart fall on account of him, on the account of Goliath. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. But Saul said to David, you're not able to go up against this Philistine to fight him, for you are only a youth. You're only a boy. While he has been a warrior since his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. And when a lion and a bear came and took a sheep from the flock, I went out after it and I attacked it and I rescued the sheep from the mouth. And when it rose up against me, I grabbed it by the mane and I struck it and I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them since he has defiled the armies of the living God. So when you think of that, when you think of this idea of who you are, I just wonder, are you just doing time and not really doing anything about it? Are you really just feel like you're in stuck mode? Do you feel like you don't know where you're going or what you're doing? And the reason is because we're not listening to God. We're not listening to the Holy Spirit. We're not seeking the Scriptures. We're not in a group that's holding us accountable and making us grow and move forward in life. I think the reason that we don't do that is because we are like the armies of Israel. We are scared because we don't know what that's going to be like. Even though God says, I'm going to give you great success, we go, what is success going to look like? Am I going to have to change? Am I going to have to modify my life? Are people going to start actually counting on me? Oh, heaven forbid. Right? And so when we move forward, the someone that you've been waiting on is you, because God's just calling you. God's looking to you. He's asking you. He's asking you to move. He's asking you to get out of your place. Because the Philistine, Goliath, see, there was something about him that David saw. There was something different about him that David was looking for. The Philistine stood on the mountain on one side, and the Israelites stood on the mountain on the other, and there was a valley in between them. See, David saw opportunity. David saw a way that he could. David was used to being in the valley. David was used to being in the place where he had to fight. David was used to being where he would have to wrestle and he would have to do things that God had called him to do to be able to protect the sheep, that he was protecting his father's flock, right? I mean, he was really just a ranch kid, right? He was just a ranch hand, as we would say in West Texas. He knew how to take care of sheep. He knew how to take care of goats. He knew how to feed them. He knew how to water them. He knew how to camp out. Any of y'all know how to camp out? I didn't say like camping out. Do you know how to camp out? Do you know how to feed and water your animals? Do you know how to protect them? Do you know how to do certain things? See, you have everything David has already have. And now, notice what it doesn't say. Scripture never says that David had an easy time doing this. It never said that it came natural to him. We don't know how hard he had to work. We don't know what training he had to go through. We don't know the battle scars that he had. I mean, you don't wrestle a bear and a lion and come out unscathed. Amen? I mean, you just don't. You don't wrestle a bear and a lion and pull an animal out of its mouth as it's running away without getting dirty, without getting into the dirt, without rolling around and scuffling. You have to be in the midst of the battle in order to make things happen, in order to win, in order to be victorious, in order to do what God has called us to do. Because all Scripture says is David, my words, took care of business. David took care of business all the time. Even as a boy, he didn't care what it was going to be like. But here's what I want you to see is not only was David capable physically, even though he was a boy, but David was capable spiritually, that the other people, the people of the army, of God's army, were not capable of. He could see something of Goliath that no one else could see. And that's what I want you to do today. That's what we're talking about, is being able to see spiritually when battles come your way. When you have Goliaths in your life, to look at it not for what it looks like, but what it represents and what it's trying to do to you spiritually, not just physically. Because what they saw a big old boy, right? How big a boy are you? I'm 9'6". That's a big old boy, right? I mean, that's enough just to go, adios, I'm done, right? And then they saw this armor all over him, and they saw how big he was, and they saw his spear. I mean, the guy was throwing a school bus. It was giant. The guy that was walking in front of him carrying his armor was like a Volkswagen Beetle walking in front of him. I mean, he was big. And that's all they saw. But David looked at him. Now, y'all keep up, adults. This is a family show. David looked at him, and he went a little farther south. He saw the armor. He saw the helmet, he saw the spear, he saw the shield, but somehow he recognized that he was not a man of God. And he told Saul, how did he keep identifying? He said, this uncircumcised Philistine, he said, basically, he's not under the covenant that we're under. He's not under the promises of God that we're under. He's not under the power of God that we're under. Why are we scared of him? I'll go take care of him. See, he could see what nobody else could see. He could see that David himself, he had the power. He was under the covenant of God, that he had the divine authority that God had given him. And he had been practicing for the day that was going to come when he would stand before Goliath. And look at this. He didn't wait for the lion and the bear to come for him. He chased after the lion and the bear. Right? Now, y'all all know the joke. If a bear's chasing you, you don't have to be the fastest person, right? You just don't have to be the slowest person. Some of y'all Google that after a while and you'll catch up. See, he knew what it took. And so he said, I'll go out. See, he was being proactive. How did David make it happen? Is he was offensive instead of defensive. I think for us, the covenant that God created for us has finally said, quit being on the defensive and go on the offensive. Start seeing the things that are in the world that no one else sees, because 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not on things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're in this world and they're temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. David saw a man that was ungodly, that was taunting the godly people, the godly armies, that was trying to overthrow the kingdom, and he said, I'll take care of it. And he knew, he's like, this is not a big deal. I have God on my side. And actually, David, he was so equipped. He said, the Lord saved me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, and he will save me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to him, he's like, All right. He goes, go. And he goes, and may the Lord be with you. Not the force, the Lord. Okay? Not the force. All the other guys were wanting the force to be with them. David said, I need the Lord, and I'm going to go and I'm going to take care of business. See, I think God's calling all of us to start making it happen in our lives, to making it happen in our families' lives, in our marriages, in our schools, in our churches, in our jobs, everywhere we go. You have the skills, because here's what is so cool about David is that he knew what was going on in his life. He knew that he was particularly equipped for this job. See, there's something in life right now that you are already particularly equipped to do. You just haven't found it yet because you're not looking with the eyes of Christ. You're not looking with the way God looks at things. You're looking at it the way the world looks at things, and you go, there's nothing out there for me. There's nothing I can do. I want change. I want to be different, but oh my gosh, I just can't do it. No, that's not true. That's a lie from Satan. That's a lie from the devil himself. He had a whole army convinced they couldn't do anything. How much easier is it to convince you? So easy. You have to start moving, because the someone that Jesus has been waiting on, not the someone you have been waiting on. See, it's different now. The someone that Jesus has been waiting on really is you. And it's me, to go and to do and to make things happen. Because what I think is, when you function in the divine power of the covenant that God has given us, the new covenant in Christ, see, for the old covenant, they had to do all sorts of things. That uncircumcision thing, yeah, you had to be circumcised. That thing about sacrificing animals, that thing about the blood sacrifices, that thing about washing and eating and all the right things, and you had to do everything by all these rules. See, Jesus came and he said, I came to be the way, the truth, and the life. He goes, you don't have to do all those things. There are some benefits to them, but I am the way now. See, we all live under that covenant. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you live under the new covenant of who God has created us to be. All of us. Every one of us. But still, the idea that there has to be action really does exist. And I'll prove it to you right now. See, God wants to move in the world, but he's waiting on you to move first. Moses. I'm going to deliver you and your people of God. I'm going to deliver my people, my children, from the slavery of Egypt. But Moses, when you get up on top of this hill, y'all are going to have to cross that really, 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 really big lake called the sea. I'm like, we can't do that. There's no way we can do that. Sure you can. Stretch out your staff. See, God could have just opened up the sea and let them go, but he wanted Moses to do something. Right? When they were getting ready to cross the River Jordan into the Promised Land, they were told, put your foot in the water. God, that's a raging river. It's like a mile wide, and it's like 15 to 20 to 30 feet deep, and it's just raging. What do you mean we're going to cross that? Put my foot in it? You think that's going to help? You put your foot in it, and I'll move the waters back so y'all can get across. Right? Peter, I'm fishing, I'm working, God, I'm trying to do all these things, I'm trying to catch, I hadn't caught anything all night. Throw your net on the other side of the boat. I'm fine, I've been fishing over here, I know how to fish. I'm aware you know how to fish, Peter. Throw your net over here. Right? Martha, right? Here we are, thinking about Jesus himself. Talking to Martha, they begged him to come because Lazarus was sick and he was dying, and then he did die because Jesus didn't show up in time. And they get to Martha, and Martha goes, I know you can raise him from the dead, Lord. He says, I can. Martha, move the stone. I can't move that stone. It's huge. Well, I can't do what I'm going to do until you do what you're supposed to do. See, he's waiting on us. He's been waiting on us time and time and time and time again. See, I think what God wants us to do is stop giving lip service, right, to faith and start giving movement to faith. God wants to stop talking about faith, and he wants us to start walking in faith. See, it's about action. You want to make things happen. God wants you to make things happen for Him and His kingdom. He wants your life to be more godly and more in line with Him. That's all you have to do is just listen to Him and start. Listen to Him and start. Do you want to know how you do it? I mean, really, 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 really want to know how you do it? It's so simple. Stop looking at this like a dadgum rule book and start looking at it like a playbook. Somebody, right? It's not a rule book. There are guidelines, there are guardrails in here that protect us and are beneficial for us, but this is how you learn to live. This is how you learn to act. This is how David learned to do what he did in faith. It doesn't say in here how to rescue a sheep from a lion. But it does tell you how to be faithful. It tells you how to walk in faith. It tells you how to have action. And all David had to do was go back to his roots. All David had to do is go back to his training. All David had to do is to go back what he knew from the very beginning, just like we do. And when you think about Revelation 2, 4 through 5, this is where I want us to be for all of February, to return back. To return back. He says, but I have this against you, that if you have left, that you have left your first love. You've left the things that God has taught us in the beginning. David did not. David walked up to the battle lines and he knew that Philistine was ungodly. He knew that he had the tools to defeat him. He knew that God was with him. And all those other people, what had they done? They had forgotten their first love. They were the army of God, and they had forgotten who they were. We're asked to return to our first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds that you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and I'll remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. See, God is calling us back to the foundations of our love in Christ. He's calling us back to heart, soul, mind, and strength to be who He's called us to be, to love Him in that way. And to stop playing games, to stop waiting on someone else, and to know that He's calling on us. This weekend, we had a marriage retreat in Ruidoso. And I'm showing you this picture because it was great, but I'm also showing it to you because these people, they didn't wait for someone else. Don't look at them and go, oh, they must have a lot of marriage trouble to go on a marriage retreat. No, they went on a marriage retreat so they won't have marriage trouble. Actually, that's a lie. They went on a marriage retreat, so when they do have marriage trouble, any of y'all married in the room? Yeah, it happens. Amen? If it's never happened, I hate to tell you, it's coming. See, they were proactive. They were offensive instead of defensive. They were looking for what the Lord had in store for them. They were returning to their first love because they knew, or at least now they know, that the someone that Jesus has been waiting on, the someone that Jesus has been waiting on was them. And see, when He wants us to go back to the foundations of who we are, He just wants you to hear how much He loves you and how much He cares for you. And He says that, this is My body that's broken for you. Right? He said, this is how much I love you. Let's just get back to this. Let's just get back to this. Let's just get back to the fact that I shed My blood for you. Let's get back to the relationship. Back to the basics. You might think you have all the answers, but Jesus says, I am the answer. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. If you want to make it happen, come to Me. Work with Me. Call upon the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that will give you the directions and the guidance that you need. It's the Holy Spirit is the one that will love on you and care for you. It's Him and only Him. Father, take these basic elements of bread and juice. Lord, turn them into the power of the body and the blood of Christ for us, redeemed for us, broken for us, sacrificed for us, as You pulled us out of the jaws of the lion and saved us, conquering sin and death once and for all. Lord, I want to make it happen. And I want like-minded people to make it happen. Lord, let us call upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to need some servers. If you have would like to come and participate in communion and serve others, just come on forward. Be glad for you to do that. This is the Lord's table. It's not a church table. It's not Pastor Matt's table. It's not St. Luke's table. Everybody's invited to this table to partake in the redemption. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, receive that power, that divine connection, that communion that Christ desires with us, that he sacrificed himself, the connection, the redemption that God desires for each and every one of us as we accept the salvation of Christ. Take that power. You have the covenantal power of God Almighty by the power of his Holy Spirit, by the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Christ to go and make things happen in his holy name. You just have to do it. So take that blessing, take that charge, and go into the world. Receive transformation and make it happen for someone else. In the name of Christ, all the people said, amen. Amen. So glad y'all were here. Remember, XO Conference, you can sign up for it. It starts at 6:30. Dinner's at 7 on Friday.